In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. On this, the first Sunday after Christmas, and in fact, this year we get two Sundays after Christmas. That doesn't always happen. But this year we get two, and this is the first one. But we always read this passage from the Gospel of John. Christmas Eve, we read from Luke, and we get the stable, and we get angels, and we get Mary and the baby lying in the manger, which is all very nice, very, very sweet, very sentimental, very Christmas cardy. But today, we get the Gospel of John's version of it. There's no actual birth narrative in John, but John speaks to the theological truth that Luke really only points to. That what happened that evening in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago in a stable lying in a manger was not just the birth of a child, as wonderful and as exciting as that can be. It was the incarnation of God. John intentionally uses languages that calls back the very beginning of creation, in the beginning. Not that God created the heavens and the earth, but that the Word existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh. If all you read is Matthew, Mark, or Luke, you get wonderful stories about Jesus. But you can also get the sense that Jesus was just a wonderful guy. You don't really get that Jesus is God incarnate. And all those Christmas cards and Christmas carols, they lead to the sentimental thought of God sending His Son, of God sacrificing His Son. But we human beings are so used to the idea that the Son is somehow less than the Father. We use that metaphor of Father and Son, but inevitably we read into it the idea of the Father being in charge and the Son doing the duty. But that's not what happened. We say Father and Son and Holy Spirit, but we'll get there on Pentecost. Father and Son are one and yet different. The three in one, three persons, but one being. The Son is just as much God as the Father. And that's important. Because this isn't some Father remote, removed from the thing, sending someone else to represent Him into the world. That the Word, the second person of the Trinity, is fully God and became fully human for us. That's the amazing miracle of Christmas. Not that a Father sends His Son, but that God becomes enfleshed, that God dwells among us. The writer of John talks about Word and light. We can't put what happened at Bethlehem into mere human words. We describe it, we try to talk about it, we must talk about it. It's the most important thing that ever happened. And yet, words fail us. Thoughts fail us. It is impossible for us mere human beings to wrap our heads around the enormity of what God did that night in Bethlehem. That God became one of us. It is astounding. And if we're not shocked by it, if we've gotten used to that idea, we need to shake ourselves up and realize what has happened. That God became human for us. And that through that, God adopts us as children. We're not just subjects of some monarch who rules us at his whim. We are children of God. Paul writes about in Galatians here that we have been adopted as heirs. We're adopted along with Jesus Christ. After the prayers of the people today, we're going to get to do something we rarely get to do in church. I've never done it before, actually. I'm really excited. We're going to have a brief service for the Thanksgiving for the adoption of a child. And if that's not cool enough, we're going to do it again in a couple of weeks with my kids. So that's pretty awesome, too. But as Melanie and Tom, they can tell you There is no difference between adopting a child and having a child, except for the recovery period. It's kind of nice when you're adopting a baby and you don't have to be sore yourself, I suppose. You still don't get any sleep, but it doesn't matter how you come into the family. We've done it several different ways in our family, and it doesn't matter. There are children. And it doesn't matter that we are adopted by God. We are God's children. That through what God did in Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, we are made children of God with high standing in God's kingdom. And that the light came to the world, and that light still shines through us. And the important thing about that is that it's not our light. Because our lights shine bright sometimes and a lot dimmer other times. A lot of times mine's barely a pilot light. You'd have to really look close to see it in a dark room. But it's not about my light. It's about God's light shining through me. All I have to do is get out of the way and let it shine. But that's so hard to do sometimes, to get out of the way even of God's light. But God's light wants to shine through us. Wants to use us to shine light into a dark world. Yeah, the numbers are down a little bit today. Look at the weather outside. It's dark. It's gloomy. And yet, we can be light out in that world. Not physically. Okay, you're not going to glow when you walk out of here. If you do, let me know. We need to treat that. But spiritually, emotionally, we can let light shine. We can be light in the world. That even when our own lights are dim, that God's light will shine through us. And then we can let the world know there is good news. That God has become one of us. That we can be joined forever with God. When we walk out of here today, we're going to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. Now I know we're in the Delta. We don't know what mountains are. But it's like a hill, only bigger. And when we go out, we can go tell it on the mountains, in the fields, on the plains, everywhere we go, that God does love us, that God became one of us, that God has adopted us as children. And that is good news. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.